Well, grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. This morning, we are continuing our sermon series on You Asked For It. And today, we are looking at the question, do I have to be baptized to be saved? This is a question a lot of Christians ask, including myself when I was younger, because as Lutherans, we believe faith alone saves. And when we think about baptism, it seems like we're bringing this work into the Christian life. However, the Apostle Peter, in his epistle, will say, baptism now saves you. And this tension over baptism is important to discern, because it feels that the church is making baptism into a law. This is something the Lutheran confessions do not confess, for we say we are not saved by works, but by faith alone. However, we must not forget that the Lutheran confession states, concerning the use of sacraments, it is taught that the sacraments are instituted not only to be signs, but by which people may recognize Christians outwardly, but also as signs and testimonies of God's will toward us in order thereby to awaken and strengthen our faith. Therefore, let us now explore this question, do I have to be baptized to be saved? The reading we had this morning was from Mark chapter 16, where Jesus appears to his disciples after the resurrection. Mark records, afterward, he appeared to the 11 themselves as they were reclining at table, and he rebuked them for their unbelief and their hardness of heart, because they had not believed those who saw him after he had risen from the dead. And he said to them, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. This hardness of heart is what the disciples are struggling with throughout the Gospel of Mark. Hardness of heart, it's a crazy expression. And when we think of a heart, we think of this abstract idea with love. We draw a heart like on a card that says, I heart someone. But the heart is actually this human organ that's pumping blood. And when we think about our own heart, what if it got hard? Well, the arteries would stop, it'd become difficult to breathe, and we would end up dying because of it. And this hard heart is what Jesus is using to demonstrate the spiritual condition of the disciples. Peter, in his great confession in Mark, will actually say, you are the Christ. That's it. He did not confess that Jesus was the Son of God. For this hard heart did not allow the disciples to comprehend the signs and wonders that Jesus did on earth. The disciples were confused. They understood Jesus to be an earthly king. They had faith that he was a prophet, but the Son of God? No, not a chance. Because perhaps they'd forgotten God's promise to his people in the Old Testament. Perhaps they had no sign or seal to cling to. Perhaps the fear of the Jews was so great that created their hard hearts. Either way, their unbelief and hard hearts led Jesus to rebuke them. Jesus says, though, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Since Jesus is the Son of God, he is commanding his disciples to be baptized. We see this in the famous words of the Great Commission. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. To not be baptized is simply to reject God's word and God's command. For Christ instituted baptism himself when he was baptized to begin his journey to the cross. And to not be baptized and to not receive this gift ultimately shows a lack of trust in God's true and perfect word. It shows your hardness of heart, for the rejection of baptism makes your Christian confession weak, and you become like the seed who fell upon rocky soil, where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Therefore I say, repent, turn back to God, and be baptized. So must one be baptized? Yes, because God commands it. For God is a God who works in means. On our beautiful altar, we have two candles here. And the two candles represent the two natures of Christ, that he was true God and true man, the God-man. That God's word took on human flesh to be our Savior. And God is a God who loves to work in and through means. So today, in baptism, he works in and through plain water with his word to bring the forgiveness of sins, to bring salvation, to bring life everlasting. Many of you may be familiar with the sign 666. We are in that Halloween time in October. This mark actually originates within Scripture, where in John in the Apocalypse or the Revelation talks about how the Antichrist is marking his believers with this sign. And this Antichrist is aping God, who God marks his church with baptism. For baptism connects us to Christ's death, but also to his resurrection. Baptism becomes a sign for the believer, for it's something that God works actively to continue to give us the forgiveness of sins. It's a historical event in our lives so that we can cling to it. We can remember it. We can always go back to the promise that God has worked within our baptism. For Christ was baptized to stand in your place. He was baptized to wear your hardness of heart as he became the suffering servant. He was baptized to begin his bloody, gory road to the cross at Calvary. For on the cross he would hang. Nails would be driven into his hands and his side. He would hang as a sign to the world. For on this sign, your resistance of him, your hard hearts, would be nailed on him. He took it all for you. Therefore, in baptism, Christ already slayed all your sins. For do you know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in new life. Christ died. He was buried. But he rose from the dead. And in his resurrection, you are freed from your hard heart, from death, and connected to his death and resurrection in baptism. For you have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer you who live, but Christ who lives within you. And as the new man rises in your baptism, you receive a heart that loves him. You receive a heart that loves your neighbor. You receive a heart that is willing to sacrifice his time for someone else. You receive a heart that stands boldly confessing Christ in this world. So must you be baptized to be saved? It certainly looks like it. But Jesus says, but whoever who does not believe will be condemned. What is missing from this sentence? Baptism. I don't see the words baptism connected with condemnation. Only the heart, only unbelief is what condemns. For how could someone, for not everyone has an opportunity to be baptized. There's one great story is the Coptic martyrs a couple years ago with ISIS. There was one guy with this group of Coptic Christians going to their death who was a Muslim. And as he was seeing all these Christian martyrs give their lives, he's like, I believe the same faith that they believe. Now, he didn't have time to be baptized, but he saw the faithful witness of the saints, and from their testimony to willingly die for their Savior, he received the gift of faith and was executed for it. For faith alone still wins the day. But one should not cling to this invisible cross because we don't see God and Jesus in the flesh today. Therefore, one should wish and cherish baptism. Many of you may be familiar with the story, Philip and the Ethiopian. The Ethiopian is heading back to Ethiopia in his chariot because he was not able to go into the court because he was a Gentile. And Philip walks by and asks the Ethiopian, what are you reading? And he says, I'm reading Isaiah 52, the story of the suffering servant. I want to know who this is about. So Philip gets in the chariot and he begins sharing how this suffering servant is Christ who came and died for him. And as they are riding along, they come to a body of water. And the Ethiopian says, what prevents me? So here is water. What prevents me from being baptized? The Ethiopian saw the beauty of baptism, that baptism brought life and salvation, and he cherished it. For that blessing allowed him, as Paul would say, that we are more than conquerors through Christ who loved us. So does one have to be baptized to be saved? Yes and no. But for the certainty of salvation, one should. Satan is always out there lurking to destroy his church. He loves your hard heart and wants you to cling to your unbelief and your false idols. Cling to Christ, though. Cling to your baptism. Make it your sign. It's why Christians make the sign of the cross in worship, before prayers, before they go to bed, to remind them, I am a child of God. I am saved. I am forgiven. To close this morning, I'd like to read for you the words of blessed Martin Luther and what he had to say are in this. Does baptism, do I have to be baptized to be saved? A person can believe, although he is not baptized. For baptism is no more than an external sign to remind us of the divine promise. If one is able to get baptism, it is well. Then one should take it, for no one should despise it. But if one were not able to get it, or one were denied it, he is nonetheless not damned, provided that he believes the gospel. For what the gospel is, their baptism also is, and everything a Christian need, because damnation follows upon no sin except unbelief alone. And may the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
Let's stand.